Chapter 9. All right, I nodded. Then let's split off into groups. I want 3 or 4 people together. Olette, how do they usually attack?
It's smart of you to have us split off into groups,
the elf told us.
Because they usually spread out in small groups around the forest and then sneak their way in. If we keep to the edges, we should be able to attack them before they even enter into the forest.
Is there anything of value in the forest they might try to take?
Cleia asked.
No,
Olette began.
The only things we keep in the clearing are our homes, and most of them barely have anything inside of them. We're elves. We don't have the same selfish needs as humans do. We do have some of our sacred texts, but I doubt they would have any interest in them since they're written in our elven language. They only ever came into the clearing to take us or our blood. We've managed to fend them off each time, but they're stronger than ever. If they were even a few hours off, I'd be back to my normal strength, but they're always punctual. That's why I told Charles earlier I wanted to finish up our fight so we could prepare for their arrival, but we didn't have time.
There's no need for you to prepare, I mused with a sly smirk. We're here to protect you now, and you will never be bothered by the jackal or her hounds ever again. Now, let's break off into groups. Matilda, Olette, let's head north and hide just inside of the tree line.
What about my horse?
The desperado asked.
Should I leave it here?
No. I shook my head and then glanced around as the group slowly formed. Ryan and Kate, take the horses with you to the middle of the forest. You may not see a lot of action in there, but I want to make sure the metal beasts aren't destroyed in some way.
All right.
Ryan boomed and grabbed Matilda's horse's reins and then jerked her head toward the forest.
Come on, Katie. Let's get in there and get ready to kick some ass.
Daisy, I prompted. I want you and Edeny to stay here and protect the caravan. Valerie and Cleia, I want the two of you and your party to head south. Josephine, you'll be the only one on your own, but have the Drake Legion spread out through the trees. Keep in constant contact with each other, do you understand? If anything goes wrong, call out to one of us and we'll come running. Cleia, my darling, do you think you could give us some cover? The Nyx woman's mint-colored eyes glowed with excitement, and she nodded once before she brought her hands out in front of her body. The turquoise-haired woman concentrated for a long time before closing her eyes slowly and waved her hands out in front of her. The Nyx woman let out a long exhale, and before I could even blink, a thick, impenetrable fog rolled out of the forest and nearly obscured us from view. Then my gaze shifted to Edeny, and the she-wolf nodded. The Duchess knew what I wanted without even a word, and the wolf woman lifted her hands above her head. Edeny's delicate fingers splayed out then tensed as she swirled the foggy air. Faster and faster her hands moved, until she put her entire body into it. And when I lifted my head toward the sky, clouds crackled to life and then soured with the promise of rain. As all of us watched, a single neon-yellow lightning bolt slashed through the black clouds and touched down in the middle of the rainforest. Edeny brought her hands down in front of her, but the wind didn't die down, and the blooming clouds overhead never stopped churning. The guards had no idea what we had in store for them, and when they arrived, they would probably figure that the forest simply had some bad weather. I turned at the last second and focused on the lamps in the distance. They were much closer now, but even from this far away, I knew they couldn't see us yet. Without breathing a word, I lifted my right hand into the air, swirled it around, and then nodded to both Olette and Matilda. Both women had brilliant green hair, and it whipped around them in the gale my monster women had created. But the two of them couldn't be more different. Olette had an elegance and beauty that I only associated with aristocrats, but there was something otherworldly about her. Of course, it was the golden eyes, pointed ears, green skin, and the fact she was abnormally tall. Her waist was tiny without the aid of an uncomfortable corset. Her breasts were smaller than most of my women's, but her hips were wide along with her voluptuous thighs sloping shape. The elven woman's face was so perfect and symmetrical that she looked like a porcelain doll with her slightly upturned nose, slim cheeks, and rounded chin. When her eyes met mine, her dark green eyebrows raised in question, but I shook my head. A sly smirk spread over her lips, and the light in her golden eyes glittered excitedly. There was something about her that aroused me more than I'd ever imagined. Was it because she'd never been touched by a man? She'd spent her entire life in this forest, and the only contact she'd ever had with humans were the jackal and the hounds that tormented her tribe. In a way, she was the most virginal a being could be, and I wouldn't admit it aloud, but I wanted to be the one who took it from her. Matilda trudged along beside us, glanced over her shoulder, and then bent low to the sand before disappearing into the edge of the forest. Olette and I quickly followed after her into the dim tree line. Of course, the desperado was beautiful too, but a little rough around the edges. Her long green hair shifted over her shoulders, and I spied the bare flesh of her tanned shoulder for a second in the dark. The desperado was tall, but certainly not as tall as the elven woman or Edany. Her breasts were large and jiggled whenever she walked, which had caught my attention many times before. Her hips were wide, and though she was a little heavier than the rest of my women, I knew there was nothing but muscle underneath that small layer of fat. Matilda's face was small with round cheeks, a pointed nose with a smattering of light brown freckles and high cheekbones. When she smiled, there was a small gap between her two front teeth, and I had to admit to myself I found it unbelievably adorable.
"Your name is Matilda, correct?"
Olette whispered, and the desperado puckered her lips before glancing over her shoulder.
"What?"
the green-haired woman barked.
Oh, yeah, that's my name. Don't go wearing it out, got it?"
"I'll try not to."
The elf laughed lightly.
"What happened to your arm, if I may ask?"
"Well, I was born without it,"
the desperado chuckled, settled down in the dirt, and stared out at the horizon.
"Ended right below my elbow in this puny little stump. I could grip stuff pretty good with it, but anything else, well, it was pretty useless. My mother didn't care if I didn't have an arm. Hell, she was just glad she gave birth to a girl."
"I don't understand the human obsession with the female sex,"
Olette stated.
"I can only produce female seedlings. I would have given them to humanity if I knew they wanted them so badly. But they came and took them from me instead. I don't even think they wanted my daughters. They just wanted the abilities we're naturally born with."
Matilda's face looked pained for a second, and I could understand. Hell, I could understand all of my women's confusion. They'd lived all of their lives believing their powers were hereditary, and that they'd received them from their long line of ancestors. But now all of that could have been a lie. I don't know how the queen had done it, especially at such a young age, but I was sure even she had an extensive team of doctors and scientists to help her figure it out. They easily could have taken the elven women in their blood and somehow isolated the gene that gave them abilities. But even then, that would have been a challenging task to take on for the time.
"I'm sorry for what happened to your daughters,"
Matilda breathed, gave the elven woman a sad smile, and offered her a hand.
"But I promise you, we'll get them back, and we'll make those bastards pay for what they've done to you."
"Thank you,"
Olette whispered.
"That's very kind of you."
The three fell into silence as I sat in between the two stunning women. We were so closely pressed together in the underbrush that Matilda's perfect ass pressed into my side, and Olette's small breast brushed against my shoulder. Their warmth and touch surrounded me, and I fought hard to keep the erection down. My core women were so relentless in their pursuit of pregnancy, I barely got a night's rest without one of them clamoring on top of me in the dark. Not that I was complaining, though. I was more than happy to satiate our collective needs, but it had been a while since we'd added another woman to our party. When I glanced at each woman on either side of me, I saw the need burning in their eyes. They wanted me, and though I wanted to take them right here in the forest, we had other things we had to attend to first, but that didn't stop my member from throbbing angrily against my thigh.
"There,"
Olette murmured into my ear, and shivers raced up and down my spine.
"Do you see them?"
I leaned forward, pressed my palm against the soft dirt, and stared out into the darkness. It seemed the hounds had learned their lesson after attacking the elves so many times and had extinguished their torches. From this distance away, I could only make out four of them against the thick fog and swirling sky. They rode on the backs of enormous black horses and skidded up the sand around them. I couldn't hear their voices from this far away, but suddenly the horses turned toward the trees and they moved in closer through the fog.
"So, Mr. Boss Man,"
Matilda murmured,
"what's the plan? What do you want me to do?"
"Take out the horses," I commanded. "They're nothing without them. And then we move in, do you understand?"
"Oh, I've been waiting for this."
The desperado laughed under her breath, lifted her metal arm, and then depressed a button. A small crank slid out of the metal, and she wrapped her fingers around it while turning it rapidly. The desperado concentrated on it for a moment, then lifted her mechanical arm and aimed at the lead guard and her horse.
I don't really approve of animal cruelty, Charlie.
Matilda grumbled.
But if it's to take down the queen, well, I guess I gotta make an exception.
In one swift movement, Matilda snapped the crank back into place and cracked back her wrist. The palm of her metal hand opened up, and a diamond-shaped spike exploded out with a loud crack. The projectile flew through the air and trailed a long line of thin metal wire after it. The weapon whizzed through the air and sliced through the horse's leg with a moist squelch. The beast reared its head and bellowed toward the sky in agony, but Matilda hadn't finished yet. The desperado jerked back her arm, and with a metallic sound, the metal wire attached to the weapon retracted. The horse was suddenly yanked sideways, and it overturned on top of its rider with an anguished neigh. Before the other riders could stop themselves or guide their horses away, the downed beast tripped them with its kicking feet, and they all were toppled forward. All of this happened in a matter of seconds, and when I glanced over at Matilda with wide, horrified eyes, all she did was smirk at me.
I told you I've got a few long-range attacks, didn't I?
The green-haired woman laughed. As the three of us stood and moved to take off in the downed guard's direction, immediately vines and roots sprouted up all around Olette. The elven woman blasted past us into the sand, and before Matilda and I could even reach them, the green-skinned woman began her onslaught. Even through the thick fog, we watched as Olette's individual roots snapped out, grabbed one of the guards, and then tossed them into the air. Before they could even land on the sand, another root reached out and caught them. The guards' terrified screams rose into the air like smoke. And as the two of us raced forward, I reached into the pack at my waist for one of the handheld devices Ascara had crafted.
That was a lot easier than I expected,
Matilda huffed.
I was really wanting a good fight. Maybe get in a few punches here and there.
I can assure you, once we get to Tulna, you'll have plenty of opportunities to punch a few people. Right as the two of us reached the elven woman, the green-skinned elf had already begun to wrap her vines and roots tightly around each guard. I'd only known Olette for a few hours by now, but she looked nothing like the benevolent elven queen I'd encountered earlier. Her vines and roots shook with rage as she rose and fell in the thick fog. Her perfectly shaped lips were pulled back in a vicious snarl, and elven words poured out of her mouth with hateful intensity. Olette held the guards down with her ability, and I slowly approached them with the tiny device held tightly in the palm of my hand. Just as I'd suspected, there were only four of them, and by now, the three uninjured horses had righted themselves from the sand and galloped off into the distance. The fourth horse laid in the sand on its side, and it gasped for breath pitifully. I hoped it wouldn't die here, and if it survived the next few minutes, I would do everything in my power to mend it back to health. The four hounds struggled against their bindings, but the elven woman held them in place and shouted even more elven words at them. I stepped forward, but as I did, one of the guards threw back her head and leveled her scarlet eyes at my face. We stared at each other for a long moment in silence, except for the screaming of the wind above our heads. Her dark gray hair whipped around her wrinkled face, and when she opened her mouth to speak, I saw some of her teeth were rotted.
Well, well, well.
The old crone cackled over the sound of the wind.
If it isn't the boy I was tasked to look after so many years ago. So, tell me, Charles Rayburn, what are you doing all the way out here? Get lost on your way home to Edenheart? Or something else happened?